Grace and peace to you on this day. Welcome to Thirsty Thursday. Glad you are here. Today we're going to look at another powerful story, but this is going to come from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And we'll be challenged in some good ways today as we look at this text. And a theme that will emerge for us, I think, is that ability to press on even in the midst of our unknowns. And so let's see what this gospel has. It's John 12, verses 1 to 8. Now, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept a common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The end of the reading there. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Well, these stories, this one here in the Gospel of John, is also in Matthew and Mark. It connects Jesus' anointing with, of course, what's to come, his death. When those spices and precious ointments were used to prepare bodies for burial. Luke, however, I think is shifting that to not just talk about burial, but also to look at forgiveness and a way of living with one another. In John's gospel, Mary's act of discipleship is contrasted here with Judas, the disciple who's going to betray Jesus, turn him over to the authorities. Mary's anointing of Jesus' feet looks forward to Jesus' washing of the disciples' feet. Maybe there's some foreshadowing that we can see here that's to come in chapter 13. Also, if we look back, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, there was anointing of his body in chapter 11. So there's a lot of imagery that's flowing nicely through these chapters. And I think washing of the feet for Jesus, I think preparing of Jesus for what he will undergo, or providing this blessing, anointing him in this moment, those are all aspects of discipleship, practices of discipleship and how we can live. Of course, with Judas, he's called the thief here in the text. And this, again, is pointing maybe to the garden. And Jesus, you know, here is providing a corrective to Judas' voice, but we go to the story of the Last Supper, and Jesus is communing with Judas. So that relationship continues and flows in and through. It's not truncated and not cut off. There is a full relationship, even Jesus seeing these things unfold before him. And so I think that's a powerful thing to hold on to. As well. Well, diving a little more into this, the story has this beautiful act of love and devotion. And as Mary does this, I think a lot of people would step back in awe. They'd see the reverence or the holiness of the moment. Today, we have those sacred moments that we practice in worship, taking water or holy oil, making the sign of a cross, even what we practice on Ash Wednesday with a little cross, ashen cross in our forehead, remembering that we are children of God and we're going to return to God. Each of these are acts of love and devotion that remind about identity and purpose and call. And I see this as powerful for Jesus because it's another reminder of who he is and what he's living for, what he must undergo, and how he will still experience life. I think Mary's act of faithfulness here is one of a pure and genuine heart. This is who she is. This is how she seeks to love. And I guarantee she wasn't just doing this for Jesus. I guarantee this is how Mary was with others. Now, the act of extravagance that she does, that's the question of the hour, right? That's what's being called into question by Judas. For the writer of John, I think he's implying that Judas, through the characteristic of greed, that is a character flaw, right? This greed of withholding something from Jesus. And that allows that to grow into something else, right? That underbelly of things of don't do this, don't do that. Why are you doing this? Why are you going to do this? Why are you going to be so kind? Why are you going to be so loving? Why are you going to be so generous? And it just chips away at that act of a genuine heart. And I think that's injurious to Judas. I think it's injurious to those around him. And we'd say, be like Mary. Focus on what Mary's doing. And stop Judas being so dang greedy, living for self. She was, Mary, in loving Jesus in this way, is living beyond the self. And this act of faithfulness also points to the servant deed of Jesus to come, again, in all that he's going to do next. It's almost another way of when he was baptized and he came out of the waters and the voice spoke to him in this moment and the blessing from Mary. It's like God coming through and speaking again. You're anointed to undergo that which you have to undergo, Jesus. And you're not alone. God is with you. And so she's practicing the ultimate gift of love and gratitude for Jesus. Now, there are times in our lives in which we're invited into radically loving Jesus and loving whom Jesus loves, right? And you can probably name those times. I'd like to say that that's 24/7, 365, that we never stop paying attention to that invitation to radically love like Jesus and love whom Jesus loves. Because each day is an opportunity to love Jesus by loving others. And there are times in our life in which we're tempted to stand over and against Jesus. That happens too. Even when we go so far to plot against what Jesus needs to accomplish in this world, we live in contrast to him, over and against him at times in our choices and in our words. But each day of life, just as we have an opportunity to love, each day of our life provides an opportunity to betray Jesus too. And I think we want to humbly put that on our plate right in front of us so that we recognize that we do have that kind of power. Right? We get to make that choice. Jesus gives us the freedom to make that choice. Because serving Jesus in this life can be difficult, right? Serving Jesus in this life can be difficult, but we do have that choice to serve or not to serve. But in choosing to serve, to pour out our hearts for Jesus, that is what will bring life. It will also bring maybe some ridicule. And not everyone will understand that. But are we seeking always to be understood by everyone in the world? Or is our vision and our sight on Jesus and doing what Jesus does, whether the world understands it or not? And I'd hope that's what we would lean into. But again, with all of that we've been covering over these weeks, you can see the temptation to backslide, to lean into other things. But here, Mary is encouraging us to live with that love and gratitude, to let that lead the way, and to maybe let that also be enough. Well, this day is also matched up, this text, with the Philippians text that we would see from Philippians 3, where Paul is saying, lean in and to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And we really get excited about that. But then there's the part, but also know that there is the sharing of his sufferings. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, but I'm also called to share in his sufferings. That's a little bit tougher, the second part, but it's all held together. You don't get one without the other. What is the power found in resurrection? And how is it that we share in his sufferings? That's a journal question for you this week. What is the power found in Christ's resurrection for your life, the daily living you do, and how is it that we share in Christ's sufferings? Okay? And I'd love to hear from you on that. Send me a note, an email, a text, something. Let me know how God's speaking to you through that. And then, of course, we read in the book of Philippians, it states, I press on to make the resurrection my own because Jesus has made me his own. Again, it's Jesus' work that accomplishes this. Jesus makes us his own. So we press on to the goal of the call of God found in Christ. Jesus pressed on towards the goal that God set before him, and we are called to press on towards that same exact goal. And yet we know the systems most often found in the world, they can't provide the kind of life that God desires. Our systems break. Our systems fall short. When Jesus says that we will always have the poor with us, we know that he's stating a fact. There's too much poverty. There's too much extreme poverty in the world. But we know life has taught us over and over again, we will always have the sick. We will always have the hungry. We will always have broken relationships. We will always have corruption and greed. Now, does that mean that we are to do nothing? Does it mean that we are to give up? What are we to do? What can you do? We press on. That's the call. We press on, like Mary, with grace and gratitude, pouring out love in the life of our Lord and Savior, in the life of one another. Our faith is to equip us to press on. And we have to practice that faith over and over and over so we have those deposits and those points of meaning that allows us to serve with a strength and a resolve, a stick-to-itiveness to keep going. And then through that, we know that others will know the power of this God in Christ by our acts of love, our acts of grace, our acts of gratitude. Now, years ago, and this was when the major earthquake happened in Haiti, where reports were that over 300,000 had died. Well, back at that point, there was this group that I had been working with called the Resurrection Dance Theater of Haiti. And they would do these traveling tours to different churches, to partner churches. And this was a group of young men from St. Joseph Home for Boys, a wonderful mission center there in the midst of Port-au-Prince. And they were raising children to full life. But that particular tour that they went on, and we had been in relationship with them for many years already, but they entitled the tour that year, Resurrection from the Rubble. Resurrection from the Rubble. And I think that was the most powerful tour for me because we saw, again, against all odds, against the greatest of challenges, when folks had lost absolutely everything. They hardly had anything to begin with, and now they're losing everything again. That they chose to focus on resurrection from the rubble. And so we ask those questions. What rubble is in our life and this world's life that needs to be removed in order for true resurrection to take place? What rubble in your life and this world's life needs to be removed in order for true resurrection life to take place? It's a deep question. It's going to take some honesty with each of us. But again, there's an individual call to that, and there's a collective call. What rubble is in our world that we need to band together? At the Resurrection Dance Theater, we had travel trips who would go and do bucket brigades of hauling buckets of concrete for months on end in order to clear property so that there'd be a chance to rebuild. Resurrection from the rubble takes a lot of work. And clearing the rubble of our individual lives and a collective society life, things that are causing us to stumble, takes a lot of work. And we need each other. And one of those people that I know I need in my life is that Mary, that image, that heart, that soul that poured out generously over Jesus, anointing him, because it reminds me how we are to anoint one another for the work of God in the world. And the anointing work is helping us together to clear rubble. We don't need to do that alone. I'd say we can't do it alone. We need each other. And so, church, out there listening to this podcast today, may this story of Mary bless you. May it hold you. May it keep you. And may it move you. Just as those words from Paul, to press on, knowing Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings. All right, stay thirsty, my friends.